on television, but I haven't actually seen it at a wedding, you know. It'd be awkward, you know, but sometimes, you know, we see marriages later on that it looked like maybe somebody should have spoke up, you know. So we'll review a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, I brought a message on, and it was titled Vision and Confidence. And to have confidence, you've got to be able to see where you're going, don't you? And you can't see where you're going if you don't have the light of the world, can you? We have to have Jesus Christ in our life. And so it truly should have been titled Make Your Calling Election Short, and I brought that out in the message. But once you have done that, then what do you do? And that's what we're going to look at today. I don't know about you, but I don't mind sharing my opinion. Probably more than I should. And you know, sometimes, you know, I should just keep my mouth shut and let my yes be yes and my no be no, but I don't always do that. And hopefully the Lord will forgive me about that. But there's times that you should be silent. There's times that we need to speak up. And again, the title of this could be Not Ashamed of the Gospel. So we're looking in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and we'll be going through 8 through 12 on that. And so, speak now. Now is very important, isn't it? Time is important. You can probably waste and spend all your money up and you can make some more, can't you? But you can't make any more time. Time is very valuable, and it should be used as if it was, because you talk, I want to spend a little time with someone. You are spending your time. When you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else, aren't you? So your time is very valuable, and we don't always look at it with the value that should be held on it. We've only got a certain amount of time. Yeah. And we need to be using it. There's a lot of good things out there, but there's the great things that we should be doing, and that's this. We should not be ashamed of the gospel, and we should be sharing the gospel. And the time that we got, which is small, should be spent on doing that. As you're going, we should always, when we encounter somebody, we should bring that up. And I promise you, I'm probably the world's worst about not doing that. So the message is going to be as much for me as it is for anyone, that you miss opportunities because I'm too busy sharing my opinion on everything else, you know, than being focused on where it should be. And talking about speaking again, there's a saying that a good leader should be the last one to speak. He should hear everyone else's opinions and ideas before he ever speaks. How can you lead someone if you don't know where they're at? So you listen, you learn where they're at, and then you know how to lead people and get them to where they need to be at. So another thing I need to work on, you know. Like I said, it gives you 2 ears and 1 mouth, so you should be listening twice as often as you're talking. So just keeping all this in mind and looking at we are in Timothy and understanding. The letter is from Paul, right? To his son in the faith, as he considered him, Timothy. Paul's worried about Timothy, isn't he? There's some bad influences in the church. He doesn't want him to fall in the same way that they have fallen, and he wants him to stand firm in the things that he has taught him and that Christ wants, needs to go out. The gospel. The Word of God. You know. So, I'm going to go ahead and we'll start in and read that. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know who I am, believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Amen. Again, that's a lot. That's a mouthful that's been said to us, and a lot to take in. It was a lot said to Timothy, understanding Paul is writing from this from in prison. And our prisons would be like a Marriott compared to where he's at. And could Paul have felt ashamed that he's in prison? I mean, some people could, but Paul was not ashamed because he knew why he was there. If it was for something wrongdoing that he had done, that'd be one thing. But it wasn't, was it? It was for proclaiming the gospel. There's a day coming, isn't there, that we're going to be under the same scrutiny. I don't know that we will be put to death, but we may be imprisoned like Paul is. I'm talking about in the United States. We're looking at people in Afghanistan right now who are being killed. And then many other countries all over the Middle East and Africa and other countries, that there's more people martyred in this century than in the first century. And that's amazing, isn't it? And to understand what it takes. I mean, you can't be half-hearted about this, can you, and be a martyr? Because when you get put under that point, you're going to be proven so bad by firearms. Because it will be easy to turn aside in that day and say, no, like Peter did, denied him three times. No, I never knew him. No, you got the wrong guy. Yeah, I don't know who told you that, but it wasn't me. So that's what we're looking at. So let's start out, and we're just going to walk through these verses. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do you have a testimony? I'm hoping everyone in here has a testimony. If you don't, then you need to go back to make your call and election sure. Because you should have a testimony. There should be a place that you can go back in your life and say, I was once this, and now I am this. And if you can't do that, I don't know how else to put this, but you aren't saved. It's just that simple. And so that's one way you might have a little, I don't know, and back and forth. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't have that point in your life, you're not saved. It's just plain and simple. And he spoke, that we should have a testimony. And not be ashamed of me also being in prison, Paul said. But to share with me in the suffering. Do we like to suffer? It may be easier if we can share it with somebody, but still, we're not going to run in. Hey, give me some of that suffering. You know, I'm running a little short on suffering. Give me some of that. Paul was calling to him and letting him know, if you make a stand, if you stand up, you're going to suffer. And there's many ways that you can suffer, even here in America, for standing up for Christ. You're going to lose some friends. You may even lose a job if you take a real strong stand. There's a lot of ways, even in America, that you can suffer for standing up for the gospel. But it says, for the gospel according to the power of God. We're going back to that divine power again, aren't we? Yes. We cannot lose focus of the Holy Spirit is the only power we have to walk in the newness of Christ. That once we have that moment where you say, I was once this, I was once have that Holy Spirit that's making that change in me.
Yeah.
It's going to make that difference, and I can do anything without it, as far as that's pleasing unto God anyway. You know, again, we may do the good stuff, but we're not going to do the great stuff. How are you going to spend your time? And what are you going to do with your time? Great leaders, again, have to-do lists. But the greatest leaders have the not-to-do list. They got a to-do list over here, but they got a thing that they're not going to let waste their time. Because it is valuable, and you only got so much of it, and you've got to prioritize what you do. So there's things that you need to cut out. And I can name a bunch of stuff that I need to cut out that could save a whole lot of time and give me the time to share the gospel. And to work out your faith. You know, faith is more of a, not a have, but a do. You do faith. They should know you by your faith. How can they know you by faith? By you saying it? No, but by what you do. You do faith. And then you don't have to tell anybody you have faith. They'll know you have faith. So with that power, we can do that. And it says, the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, this is like the greatest calling that you can have. This is, if you don't do anything else in your whole life, if you do this, that's a holy calling. If you share the gospel with everybody you come in contact, it doesn't matter if you ever become rich or you ever become this, that, or the other thing. But if everybody knows this person always shared the gospel, but he shared it in love. He listened, and then he tried to lead. And that's what we need to do, is find opportunities to move the conversation around to, do you know the Lord? And if you don't, this is how you can. And we can only do that through the power. It says, it's not according to our works. It's not our works that does it, is it? It's according to His purpose. His purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That's enough to boggle your mind already, isn't it? That we don't understand it, do we? How he could already know it before even time began. And you can sit and theorize and do anything you want to, but we'll never grasp it until we meet God and understand His perspective and how He sees things and knows that how everything's going to work out, not because He made it, it's because He knew it. He's seen how it was going to play out. To me, I look at it as that is the, one of the curses that came with Adam, is to be locked in time. 1 second at a time. Now is the time. Now. Because now is the only time you have, isn't it? You don't have the past, it's gone. You don't have the future, it's not here yet. The only thing we can do is what we can do now and how we spend our time now. But has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's Paul's lie, isn't it? This is the thing that would be driving Paul right now, is to understand what our Savior Jesus Christ had done. He had abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Again, you go back, who was Paul before he came to know Jesus? He was Saul, right? Saul was a persecutor of Christians until he was struck down on the Damascus Road and thing we have to see is, and the why behind what we do is because of what Jesus has already done.
Amen.
We can't explain that enough. It was marvelous and horrible that he had to come and die on the cross. But the coming alone was enough, wasn't it? That he was willing to leave heaven and come to earth. It seemed amazing because he was where we want to be. And he came and gave that all up to come to earth. What a sacrifice that was. But then you're looking at, he didn't just do that. He lived a perfect life and then he died for us. What kind of motivation should that be for us to understand that we can go from being that person that is destined for death and hell to that person that has that newness and can have heaven? So we should be motivated from that to share the gospel. It says, to which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I'm moving through this, I know, pretty fast. But to understand, Jesus didn't just strike him down on the road. He gave him a mission, didn't he? To preach. To be a prophet. And to teach who? Us. The Gentiles. You know, Peter and the rest of the apostles were going to be there for the Jews, weren't they? And that was always the first call. But their rejecting that call gave us opportunity, didn't it? And to help us. Even though Israel's whole thing was they were supposed to be a witness to the world of that one true and living God, and they rarely ever lived up to that, you know. But again, how can we point fingers if we're not living up and not sharing the gospel the way that we should? Because it is a great responsibility that we've been given to not be ashamed. Again, we go back to not waste your time. Speak now. Because now is all you have. And how can they be saved if we don't bring the message to them and take the opportunities that we get to make a difference in their life, an eternal difference in someone's life? Understand, you know, it'd be greater than giving them $1 billion. I could say that gift that's going to be eternal. $1 billion is gone like that, and at the moment of death, it's gone. I mean, if you haven't blown it beforehand, you know. But that realization and that understanding of receiving the gospel and what it does for you throughout eternity makes all the difference in the world. So Paul kept emphasizing to Timothy how important this is. And there's going to be people that are going to try to lead you astray. That's going to try to get you to do all the good stuff, but not the best stuff. They can keep you this close to being where you need to be, but never to coming to salvation. You know, I'm a good person, I do this and I do that. Because you know, if Jesus himself said, there's going to be people come to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in my name? And he said, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. But they thought they knew him their whole lives. They thought they knew him. But to go back, they didn't have that one moment where they was this and then they were this. Mm-hmm. It goes back to not according to our works. They were trying to do it according to their works. You know, and the old song, I did it my way. You know, they thought they could do it their way. And we know there's only one way, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can try all these other roads you want to, but you're not going to get there. It's like, they call it the straight and narrow for a reason. There's only that one way. probably one of the things that's really offensive today, is that we say that there's only one way. How can that be offensive? If there's only one way, you're asking to get somewhere, and I'm telling you, that's the only way to get there. It'd be offensive to me if I gave you, oh, well, no, you can just do this over here. When this is the only way you can do it. Which is the most offensive? To mislead somebody or to tell them the truth? I'll tell you the truth, you do whatever you want to, but it's still the truth, you know. So receive it, reject it, that's on you. But the truth is, there was only one way. And for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know who I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. What he's committed to him. What is it? He's committed everything to him. He committed the rest of his life to him, and knows that God will pay him. Jesus gave the parable of the talents, didn't he? One, he gave 10, one, he gave 5, one, he gave 1. And he came back to those that he committed these things to see what they had done with them. And the one with 10, it gave more. And he gave him more, didn't he? He put him over more. Gave, you know, more responsibility. And the one with 5, he did the same. The one with 1, he even took double. He says, look, what have you committed to him unto that day? Hopefully you committed your life to him and all that is within you. Do we get astray at times? Yeah. But Paul was singularly focused, wasn't he? He chose to do the best all the time. And he went through a lot because of it, didn't he? Shipwreck several times, you know, all these different things, the beatings and imprisonments, and even sometimes slandered by people that were supposed to be in the church, you know. So this is the things that can happen if you sell out for Christ. People are okay for you to join the church, but you start getting on fire for God. Hey, slow down a little bit. You're getting a little carried away. You know, you're going to be a fanatic. So we can't have that in here. You know, so get the wet blanket brigade come in and put that people get on fire. You know, we can't have none of this in here. We might start calling an effect around. What will people think? Somebody might say, "Hug glory" or something, and that'd be all over. So, I mean, it's funny, but it's not, you know, because there's a lot of truth in the joke. And I've seen it before. When you get on fire for God, there's somebody running up there to put you out. You know, the Holy Fire Department's come in and put you out. That's the message I have for